Doing a little bit, and you're excited about that. Matt and I avoid the scale when possible.
Yeah, I'm avoiding the scale.
But we're going to get into the injury scale in a few. But I wanted to actually have a brief conversation in regards to handcuffs, because I think it's a it's a debate that wages on. So I'm somebody that, if I'm drafting David Johnson, I'm drafting Le'Veon Bell, I mean, you didn't do it. Like, I'm making sure I get Connor. I'm making sure I get, I don't know, I'm assuming it's not Andre Ellington anymore, but somebody like Andre Ellington. Like, I'm going to do that. And I actually think in today's climate, where we don't trust any running backs, certainly last year when nobody even drafted, you know, nobody drafted him very highly, at least in my league, handcuffs were owned. Like, who did I own last year? I owned Bilal Powell. I didn't own Matt Forte, but I owned Bilal Powell. Mm-hmm. There were other handcuffs, of course, I'm forgetting their names now, but that I own just because I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe this guy will get a shot. If so-and-so goes down, I own him, right? Like, where's another example of that? Like, in Oakland, somebody owned Jalen. I didn't even know who Jalen Richard was, and I do this, right? Somebody owned Jalen Richard in case Latavius Murray got hurt, and it did happen. And we saw that all across the league last year, that people weren't even owning their own handcuffs anymore. And maybe it's because the benches were too deep, but people were, at least in my leagues, were jumping on all of these handcuffs as what-ifs because there's so many injuries.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is, if, say, like, I drafted Le'Veon Bell, and I have the opportunity to get Jamal Williams. Now, I think Jamal Williams, if he's the lead running back for Green Bay, is in a great situation.
Right.
So I'm going to go after a guy like him. If you believe Devontae Booker gets the opportunity again and can usurp C.J. Anderson, that could be a really good situation. The offensive line has improved. I mean, I'm not a Simeon guy, so I'm suspect on that offense in general, but I think that defense is so good that they're going to play game manager and want to run the ball there. So I don't know. I mean, I try and look for the opportunities. Like, if you were somebody that speculated on Jordan Howard,
right?
Now, the thing too is, this is the key. You could speculate, you could even be right with your speculation on draft day, but it usually takes a while, so you still have to hold on to these guys, because at some point, you know what, injuries happening, like, well, I gotta let this guy go. And maybe somebody else benefits. But I'm just not. Hey, look, if I can get Connor, you know, last round,
right,
great. But the thing with David Johnson is, I mean, who really is the best? I mean, Kerwin Williams, every time he gets out there, he kind of does play pretty
does
well.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. Does something, yeah. I don't really have an answer. But I think the point you made a second ago was right. Like, if you have Le'Veon, if you have David Johnson, where we're not positive who's going to take up the lion's share of the carries if you were to get hurt. Like, maybe you should be drafting the Jamal Williamses and taking shots in other places. Maybe that is the right point. Jake Seeley likes to say, listen, there's no point of owning Greg Jennings on your team. He always brings it back to Greg Jennings, because this is the guy that's going to be the last wide receiver on your bench. You never actually want to play him. There's no high upside there. To me, you want to own some of these handcuffs where there is a much, much higher upside, potentially.
I do agree. But the thing is, say Le'Veon Bell goes down and you insert Connor, we're not guaranteed that this kid is going to do it. We've all seen the
D'Angelo Williams.
And we think that's an automatic.
Right. And you're right. So maybe we're giving to Connor. And listen, it could be Fitzgerald Toussaint. So, mm-hmm. Fitzgerald Toussaint instead. I don't know. So maybe we're rushing to Connor instead. But like, I think that we look at these handcuff situations, and our bench needs to be, mostly in my opinion, mostly upside. Like, I think we should be drafting upside guys on that bench. And I think a lot of the times handcuffs are upside. Now, I know there's some people in the fantasy community that will argue drafting handcuffs are literally wastes of time, because you're just speculating on injuries that may never occur, and you're going to miss out on some other guys. Maybe that's true. I don't think that way, though.
Well, I think this season there's a lot of rookies out there that have really good opportunities. P. Ryan in Washington, Jamal Williams. Everybody's kind of been on the Joe Williams train. In my draft champions this morning, I got, I think, the 25th or 26th round, Matt Breida of the San Francisco 49ers, the undrafted free agent, who is the one who's being talked up the most right now.
I don't even know who that
in
is.
In San Francisco. Like, saying he's looked the best. But, you know, he's an undrafted free agent. So, you know, 25th, 26th round, that. I'll take a shot. I even got Chris Godwin.
Well, Chris Godwin. Everybody's talking about Chris Godwin.
You know, but I mean, something like that. It's, I look for the talent and the opportunity versus the handcuff. I mean, maybe like in a place like Buffalo, where I know they are really, I mean, Jonathan Williams is really the only guy there anyway. Mike Tolbert is not going to be, if LeSean McCoy goes down, it's not going to be Mike Tolbert. I can tell everybody that right now. I'll bet whatever you want on that. So Jonathan Williams will get that chance.
I agree with that. Do you think, and you mentioned just a little bit earlier that Jonathan Williams will steal some goal line work from LeSean McCoy. You don't think Mike Tolbert will?
I don't know what they want to use Tolbert. I hope not. He is a bowling ball. I just hope maybe he's there for more blocking as opposed to anything. I don't know.
A couple of football headlines I want to get to before we get to our injury scale. I'm kind of upset, to be honest with you. We're not, and I mean this truly, it upsets me in my heart, in my soul, that we're not going to chase Christian Michael at all this year. Like, very upsetting to me.
I was like, look, I don't wish for anybody to get injured, but when I saw that, I was like, okay, can we finally just be done with this guy?
See, hopefully, heartless, not heartless.
Hopefully, he gets a nice, like, injury severance, and hopefully he's made some money and he's banked
it. Put it away.
But, I mean, enough. I just don't want to see the name anymore. And, you know, it's because you'll always see some fool put on Twitter or something, him breaking a 40-yard run, and everybody gets all excited, and then he just ultimately disappoints you. So,
Christian Michael didn't unfortunately make it to training camp. He's been put on injured reserve. I don't know what the world's coming to when Christian Michael's not going to be a fantasy thing. Like, I don't know. I'm very confused by this.
Yeah, we're going to have to find somebody. We have to find the, like, new, I want to find out who's going to be the new.
You know, what's going to be crazy? Like, if all of a sudden Jerry Cook goes on IR today, I'm really going to be lost, dude.
I kind of love that Corey calls Jared Cook Bigfoot.
Yeah, he loves the Bigfoot term.
That's a good one.
Anquan Boldin last year was not Bigfoot. He was legit. I believe, what, he had 8-9 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, no.
For Detroit, a major red zone threat. And Jim Caldwell yesterday really intimated that, like, listen, we're not re-signing this guy. Anquan Boldin's side kind of came out and said, listen, we want to play close to Florida. I think it's more of Detroit doesn't really want him, so he wants to play closer to his home. He went to Florida State. He's a Florida guy. Jacksonville doesn't really need a wide receiver. Tampa Bay certainly doesn't need a wide receiver. I don't think Miami needs a wide receiver either. Maybe you get to Tennessee, but it looks like they're interested in Eric Decker. So I don't really know where Anquan Boldin's going to end up if he sticks to wanting to stay close to his home in Florida. But the bigger news here is that it doesn't look like they will be signing a wide receiver. They're going to go with what they have, which brings up a name we were talking about over the last 2 days, and that's Eric Ebron. And I have to think his value is just scorching up right now.
Yeah, Ebron's value definitely goes up. Golden Tate, I mean, I believe that Bolden had like 95 targets. He mentioned the 8 touchdowns that he scored last year. And he was kind of like a tight end in the end zone, that big body,
right,
and stuff. He was that presence.
And Ebron went through some injuries.
Yeah, and Ebron, so this, I mean, I get it. I know there's a lot of that train's rolling, the Eric Ebron train. I get it. He's going to have that. If it's ever going to happen for him, it's going to happen this year. I like Golden Tate to maybe add on a couple touchdowns as well. And the kids who watch out of there, they've talked them up. They're not signing Bolden. They're not going to get another receiver. Kenny Galladay, he's going to be the number three receiver there. And Marvin Jones, I don't know what to expect from him this season. That's an interesting player.
It's funny because you're going to hear a lot of people this if they truly don't re-sign a wide receiver in Anquan Boldin or sign a new wide receiver. A lot of people are going to talk up Kenny Galladay. And in all honesty, I'm probably out. I think that as a Marvin Jones owner in the past, I'm going to be out on Kenny Galladay because I've seen that this offense, it was Golden Tate. It was Anquan Boldin in the red zone. It was Eric Ebron in the red zone. That was it. It's theoretic, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't see the role that Kenny Galladay is going to play. Like, I don't think all of a sudden he's going to get 95 targets and 8 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, no. I totally agree with you, but he just becomes a person that
of interest.
Yeah, and you put on a watch list because we know all the injuries that are going to happen, and you have to. It's not just about drafting, and say you're in a 16-team draft, drafting those guys. What I like about the preseason, because, you know, it's kind of like baseball spring training. You get bored of it very quickly. It gets very boring, very fast.
It's really exciting, and then it's really boring.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, it's putting players, writing names down, having a thing to say, you know what, these guys probably aren't going to get drafted, but guys I need to know as the season progresses.
So